Welcome to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is Frank Congelos, your host. It's a pleasure to be with you this week. This week, we're going to be talking a little bit about what we refer to as financial organization and how to avoid what I refer to as financial disorganization. Our guest today is one of my team members and one of my partners over at CNA Financial Group, David Suki, who's an advisor. He's one of our vice presidents over at CNA Financial. So, David, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be with you today.
Great. Hey, Dave, it's interesting is we're looking at this new year, and, as we come into the year, everybody right now is getting all their tax forms together. So what's going to happen is shortly everybody's going to get their 1099s in the mail. You're getting your W-2s. Everybody's getting ready for their taxes. But it really creates a very unique opportunity for all of our listeners to go from being financially what I call disorganized, since this is Financial Wellness Month, we want to get you on track, to helping them to get really financially organized. Because as they're getting their statements right now, we'd like to help them to get everything in order and to get their life really off to a great year. But before we get into that, let's talk just a little bit about what is financial disorganization, because we might have people that are listening and saying, what's he mean by financial disorganization? It's like, I think I got stuff together. I think I'm okay. So let's chat a little bit about it. What do you see as financial disorganization? How would you define it?
So let me start with some research that's been done, Frank. It's available to everybody. The average consumer individual has over 15 accounts in their name. So if they're married, that's 30. Okay. Right. And that doesn't count if they own a business or if they happen to have some money and some other stuff going on. So that's a lot of stuff to keep track of. So here's what it looks like. It appears to look like a junk drawer in a home where
– we all have one of those, by the way. That's that drawer in the kitchen. If I don't know where something goes, I put it in that
it's
drawer.
It's in there. And you know it's there, and it doesn't feel disorganized because you're like, I know it's there.
Right.
But the reality is if you looked at it from 10,000 foot view, it's disorganized. It winds up – and here's how it winds up occurring, Frank. It winds up occurring over years of making in-the-moment decisions – or what we call need-based decisions at a specific period in time. And I'll give you a clear example. When I had my first child, married, take the baby home, you start to think differently. You start to think about, well, what if something happens to me? Do I have my family? Are they protected? Do I have insurance? Do I have a will? Do I have guardians? Is it all done correctly? So a lot of folks go out and they make that decision right away, and it's in the moment, in the need. A lot that happens through our financial lives in a lot of different areas. So we see it all the time.
There's a catch with that too. And the catch is that every time that you have someone that puts you through that needs-based analysis, which is, when you just said you had that first child and you identified you needed insurance, yeah. It was some financial planner or an insurance agent that sat down, did an insurance analysis and said, okay, well, here's some insurance for that.
Yeah.
And then what happens is at some point you may realize, and I know that you have, that at some point you may need to assist or pay for college. So then all of a sudden there's perhaps that same person or another person that comes along and says, hey, I got this college savings plan for you. And then on top of that, you've got some human resource person at work. You've got this other person that's telling you about putting money in your 401k. You've had some old IRAs. It's funny. I see these Fidelity commercials now, not that we're advocating them by any means, but we're seeing these commercials talking about, that 401k that was left somewhere else at your old company and how you have to get it. And just so you understand, companies wouldn't spend millions of dollars putting out those ads if it wasn't
attracting.
If it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we all have that going on, just like when you said you have those 15 accounts.
Frank, that is us today in this country. And it's it's only going to get more complex, not less, as we go forward. So the time is now, as you mentioned when you opened the show, about great time of year to start getting organized. We all have that momentum going into the new year, but what a time to take a look at your financial organization.
I'm going to address just one other area of financial organization before we get into what they should be doing, which is as everybody is getting in their year-end statements, and especially on the investment side, what's going to happen is you should be really looking at what you have. And the fact that you may have two or three or four different mutual funds or whatever the case might be and say, wow, look at this. I got four or five different funds. I'm diversified. But if you had four or five different growth funds or four or five of the funds that are heavily overlapped, you're certainly not diversified. You don't have that level of protection that you think that you have. So that's a part of when you're financially disorganized. And by the way, many times you don't know it. Okay, it's usually someone that's able to, you know, give you that 15,000 foot view, and they're looking down and they say, that doesn't make sense. These are overlapping. It's no different than, you know, if I had life insurance put in place at one point, I named my beneficiaries, and then I got a will done afterwards, and I never coordinated anything. I didn't change my beneficiaries. I didn't change how I own assets and so forth. That creates the problem. So we all become subject to it. So let's talk about how do we fix it. So if I was just sitting home right now and I'm listening to our show, first thing that I would say to someone is, you know, you're getting your mail. Let's start putting everything that has to do with your finances in a pile, okay? Get an envelope, put it in the pile. And then I would also say is let's start listing it and looking at what you own. Dave, see any different than that?
Frank, it's important that we all understand we all, you know, should be preparing some sort of financial statement that represents – you know, our assets, our liabilities, and you know, we go a step further in when we see clients in terms of our asset protection and our cash flow as well. But it is the first step to getting organized, is getting an assessment of where everything is. And a lot of times you find, oh, I still have that account somewhere else I forgot about. That statement happens a lot in our world. It's interesting you bring up how to do that. Years ago when I started in this, you know, back in 1999, what we used to provide was a wooden box.
Yep. And it had all the files in it.
Yep. And then they were listed and it was organized and it was handcrafted. It was a beautiful box. I still have mine. I have no many clients that have theirs, but it was helpful because it just gave a category to put everything in, and it was a filing system. Our world's changed. That was the old way. There's a modern way now.
And just so they understand, is for those of people that, you know, are maybe the 50 and over crowd a little bit, and maybe they're not going to go where I know you're going to go in a second. It's okay to still have the paper files, but what we're going to recommend is you need to have the files and you should have it where it's in a fireproof box, but you need to have this very organized. Yeah. And so we're going to talk about how to organize it, but go ahead and go where you're going to go now, Dave, because I know where you are.
Well, technology now, if you're unaware out there, has allowed us to really simplify our lives if you just have a little understanding of, you know, the access we have. So there's electronic filing systems we have access to online, right? For our clients, we use one referred to as the living balance sheet, where we're able to store documents electronically, and it provides a financial statement on an ongoing basis based on, you know, information that we, you know, we input into the system.
And that's a very advanced system.
It's advanced. It's helpful.
That actually aggregates the client information, or it aggregates the information. What that basically is saying is that it's updated daily and shows where they stand at any given moment.
Absolutely, Frank. And the interesting part about it that's come to the surface, one of the best components of it that we didn't realize when we first created it was something called a vault, where it's actually the electronic version of that box that I was referred to online, where you actually have electronic files and they're titled according to the assets or liabilities the client owns. So it's very helpful every year to just scan that in and there it is. And it you know, it's available at any, you know, a click of a button.
So there's a few systems out there that allow or provide for that. One is LBS. I think Quicken may have a version of that, and there's a few others. But if someone didn't have that level of sophistication, one of the things that we see that people do and that it makes sense to us is they can scan their documents, okay, onto their hard drive and then back it up onto a thumb drive or some other source that they keep elsewhere. Are you advising people
absolutely. One, just some version of electronically protecting their documents is critical. And we all learned a good, you know, an unfortunate lesson with the storm here at the shore. You know, when a house gets destroyed, if you ever give it a thought, a lot of our documents are in that house.
Right.
And where's our backup plan if we no longer have the real document? Technology allows us to now have a backup plan, Frank.
And that's why I was saying is, you know, if they had a great system like you mentioned before, that's great with LBS, Living Balance Sheet. But if they didn't, scanning those documents and then keeping that, again, as I mentioned before, offsite, somewhere secure so you have access, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I would say that that'll help you to get financially organized for this new year. In addition to that, we've done some work over the last year with working with clients. We came up with what we were supposed to refer to as the Responsible Wealth Estate Directory. And the significance of that, that we like to tell people that they should do this for themselves, or if they like, they can let us know, either write to us, email us, and we'll provide them a free copy of it. They can have it. Is what we identified was is that, you know, when people get sick or hurt or they die, you know, it's like their family walks into a situation and says, who do they deal with? What information do they have on hand? What documentation do they have? And so forth. We actually put together a program that provides all of that detail. It's a one-pager, front and back, but it identifies, you know, here's who I do my insurance with. Here's my policy number. Here's who I have investments with. Here's the company I deal with. Here's where I keep my paperwork. So what we're going to suggest to people is that at the very least, they should document all of that and get themselves financially organized so that, one, they're set for themselves and they know what they have going on. And the second thing is in the event of sickness, injury, fire, whatever the case might be, somebody else has this information. Okay, Dave, I know that you've been, you know, bringing this out to clients. What's the feedback that you get when people see it?
It's like a sigh of relief, Frank. When they see it, they know they needed something like it. They just didn't know how to put it together. So we've found it's been very helpful. Very helpful.
Great. Hey, Dave. You know, I'm going to end on this, which is, you know, it's interesting. Is if for those of our listeners, if you've never settled in a state or if you've never represented someone as a guardian or a trustee, having that type of information available even for a parent or other family members so that in the event you should have to take over for them, you can, I would suggest that you help them to do it as well. So again, as we wrap up for this week, we're going to tell you, get financially organized. We'll help you any way you can. You've been listening to Discovering Responsible Wealth. This is Frank Congelos, your host, and our guest today, David Suki. We thank you for listening. If you have questions, you can write to us at the Institute of Responsible Wealth, 2431 Atlantic Avenue, Manasquan, New Jersey, 08736, or email us at info@iofrw.com. Thank you and have a blessed week.